Thank you, Carolyn. Love you too. Good morning, everyone. Love you all too. Just quickly, I wasn't sure if it happened. I might have been in a daze when it started, but Inonga and Josh are our guest worship leaders today, and they've come from Destiny Empowered Church. The pastor of the church is Pastor Josh Moyo, and Josh and I have been connecting and meeting together and speaking together. And God is connecting us, like-minded leaders across the city, the state, the nation. I was just in Brisbane over the last week and met with a bunch of Pacific Island church leaders, also of like mind. And we're all hearing, sensing the same sort of thing that God is doing across the world today, that he's busy reforming the church, changing us as the church that we might have been 10, 15 years ago into the church that he wants us to be, not just for today, but also for tomorrow. So Josh is one of those leaders, one of those pastors, and Inonga and Josh Jr. are a key part of what God's doing in that church life and more. And I believe that God has a lot more for Inonga that goes beyond her local congregation. And I really believe that God has a leadership gift on her life and that he has graced her with the talent to be able to sing and lead worship. But more than just the talent, she has a capacity in the Spirit to move us from where we are to closer to the throne of God. Did anyone experience that this morning? Anyone go a bit closer, a bit deeper than you've been in a while to the foot of Jesus? Well, that is an incredible gift, and that is a blessing to the body, and we just acknowledge that and thank God for you. And Inonga and Josh, we really appreciate you guys. You've been amazing. Thank you. And I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit or if it's me. I'm trying to be a generous man. But I just had a little inkling that perhaps we should just sow into Inonga's ministry, that we have an opportunity here to make a deposit in the spirit realm and in the natural realm to finance God taking her to the next level. And she's going to be embarrassed as I do this, but nonetheless, I'm going to do it. So I just want to ask quickly, if you want to do that, if you feel prompted to do that, we've got the little FPOS machine at the back, but can I quickly get the bags? If you just want to give something into Inonga's ministry, we were going to give her a gift financially today anyway. That was part of our budget, but I just feel like we need to do something a little bit more strategic, so to speak. So can we do that? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for Inonga and Josh. We thank you for their ministry. We thank you for Destiny Empowered Church, for your reason for birthing that church and for what you want to do with that congregation. And Lord, we thank you that you have greater things in store for Inonga. You want to take her into your body, and you want to use her across the world, that you've given her an array of gifts and abilities. And Lord, we've got to enjoy that this morning, and we're really grateful for that. But Lord, we want you to send her to the ends of the earth. We want you to use her across the world and to bless and minister to people, that through her ministry, people are going to encounter you. They're going to find peace. They're going to find salvation. They're going to find joy. They're going to find healing. They're going to find life. Lord, I pray that you would use her powerfully in your body to do that around the world. And today, we want to sow into that in a small way, Lord. So please speak to us if that's appropriate for us to do with your resources today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so if you want to respond to that, go for it. There goes the bags. And be blessed. Be blessed. Are you blessed? Yeah. We blessed this morning, and we blessed in all of our lives, our coming and our going. Just want a quick update for you. As I said, I was in Brisbane last week doing a men's conference. It was phenomenal. God moved, and miracles happened, and lives were changed. People very close to me that I know have been walking a bit distant from the Lord had an encounter with the Lord during that conference, and they have returned to the Lord in a very powerful way. So that's just a little bit of fruit that God is doing on the East Coast with our Islander men. And it was really cool to be around them. They're good fun, and they talk rugby, and that's always good for me. And last night, we were in Bunbury, Pastor Matt, myself, Daniel. We went down to Bunbury to meet with a group who are considering pioneering a church and who are considering us being involved with them. And it was a very powerful night. We had an incredible time of worship together. is sharing together, and God is busy birthing something. And we're going to just, in a fortnight, I'll be back there with the group and talking about them going to the next level. And it may well be that in a short while we will be launching another church in Bunbury. So just keep that in your prayers and just take that before the Lord. And we're just going to keep extending the kingdom of God wherever we can, however we can. That's the mission of our church and of our lives. So thanks for your support. Thanks for your prayer. I don't know if you know, but this morning when Anonga challenged us to dance, that was a bit of a personal challenge for me. I want to thank all of you for praying for me. I was in hospital a few weeks ago with 5 broken bones and a torn kidney, and then I was challenged this morning as a white man with broken bones to dance. This is challenging. So I gave it my best shot, but I had to sit down towards the end. It was hurting too much. So, but thanks everyone for your prayers. I'm recovering miraculously. It is ridiculous that I feel it's ridiculous that I could get out of bed after 2 weeks and travel to Brisbane and go do ministry after the way I felt in the first week. So God's doing a miracle, and I really appreciate your prayers. It's just amazing. And, you know, the devil can't stop us. When God begins to move, nothing can stop us, not even broken bones and bleeding kidneys and whatnot. Nothing can stop us when God is beginning to move us into the things he's got for us. So I thank God for that. All right. Now you know who I am, where I am, what I'm about. Can I preach to you this morning? Can I bring you the Word of God? You're hungry for it? You ready for it? Ready to get slapped upside the head? Oh, no, wait a minute. Now, I want to talk to you this morning about your identity. And I think sometimes we can forget who we are. You know, we can forget who we really are. We can forget what we're about. And we can live beneath who we really are and what God's called us to be. And we kind of just, you know, get sucked into circumstance and situations and living less than who God has called us to be. So my purpose today is to remind you who you are, is to remind you what God has called you to be, and to help you to lift up to that place where God wants to use you. I want to remind you of the things God's done, and I want to speak to you about the things God's going to do. And I'm praying, and I want you to pray with me in a second, that God would restore us to that identity that he's called us to be, that we'd have a fresh understanding, a fresh revelation of it, and we'd live out of that. Okay? You're not a sinner. Don't live out of that. You're not just a worker, you know, just working yourself, your fingers to the bone. Don't live out of that. You're not just a Christian, just barely born again and just making it to heaven. Don't live out of that. You are a son or a daughter of God, a prince or a princess in the kingdom of God, an inheritor of the fullness of God. You are the image carrier of God on the earth. You are the fullness of Christ here on the earth. You're a container, a carrier, a temple of the most holy God. You are something unstoppable and significant. You are dangerous. You are the kind of person who shifts and changes the atmosphere, the circumstances around you. Nothing will stay the same because of you, because of who God is in you. Okay, so I'm just told you who you are. Now we're going to pray that God will make that clear to you, and then I'm going to preach it. So by the end of this morning, you're going to walk out of here a different person. Amen? Good, let's pray. Father, thank you for your incredible gift of your Holy Spirit that literally changes our world. And that you come to live in us. The kingdom of God comes to live, make its home in us. Thank you for that incredible privilege. Father, I pray that today there'd be a spirit of wisdom and revelation at work amongst us, that we'd be able to come into agreement with who you say we are, we'd be able to walk in alignment with what your Spirit is leading us to do, and Lord, that we would see the things happen that are deep in our heart, that are the prayers and the cries of our heart. Lord, we'd see those things begin to change in our world. And if you agree with that prayer, we can all say, amen. Amen. So a little while ago, God spoke to me and he said to me that you are not just a church. Okay, now for years in this church, I have been saying, who is the church? And you've been answering, we are the, I am the church, right? Good answer, well done. But the Lord has been saying to me, you're not just a church. And as I've been trying to pursue building a network and taking the church beyond just one congregation and beginning to walk out the idea of influencing a city or taking a city or taking a nation, you know, all these big phrases. As I've been trying to do that, I've been trying to establish a network. God's also said to me, you're not just a church. You're not just a network. Because it's very easy for us to become just another denomination or just another network or just another movement of churches, you know, that we can all brag about. Oh, yeah, we've got God's doing this stuff and we're part of that. Woohoo, how cool are we? And that's not it. Let's not live out of that. Okay, we're not just a church. We're not just a network. But God said to me, you are a move of God. You, obviously, his name is God, so he was talking about himself. But you're a move of mine. You are a move of God. You're a move of God, okay? That means God is moving across the earth. God is doing something today. He's unfolding his plans and his purposes. And it's not something abstract and it's not something ethereal, something in the atmosphere that you can't touch, taste, feel, or see. No, no, no. It is you and I. We are the move of God. There are people who are born again but are not the move of God. Yet. They're not quite there yet. But there are people who are born again and they are the move of God. Why? Because they are moving with him. They are keeping in step with his spirit, like Galatians tells us to. They are hearing from him. They are obeying him and they're walking into these plans and walking into these purposes. And sometimes we look at our circumstances and we go, God, are you serious, God? This is where you're moving? Are you serious, Lord? Like, this is a move of yours? I'm here? I'm doing this? And God says, yes, I am serious. All you have to do is look through the Bible and look at the various situations that the men of God who moved with God landed in. From the beginning all the way to the end, I want to tell you, God takes you to the most obscure, remote, radical wildernesses. But the wilderness is a very important place. See, most of us want to run from the wilderness, but the wilderness is the most important place because it's the place of qualification. The wilderness, I mean, I am a graduate of UWA. Did you know that? University of the Wilderness of Australia. My professor, Matthias, would vouch for that. Okay? He literally is a professor of UWA, but I'm just faking it. But the reality is, I've been through the wilderness. The wilderness qualified me to be able to move with God. You see, there were a bunch of people who were caught up in a move of God and they went from Egypt to the wilderness, but then the wilderness did not qualify them. They hated the wilderness or they fell in love with the wilderness, whichever way you want to look at it, but they did not want to pursue God and move with God into the promised land. They didn't want to cross over. They didn't want to pay the price. They didn't want to forsake everything and change from being who they were into being who God had called them to be. They didn't want to take on the identity of being a move of God that rolls into the promised land and kicks out the enemy, drives out darkness, drives out the things that are in opposition to God. They didn't want to take that on. They much preferred the identity of being a wanderer who hangs out in the wilderness under the covering and the protection of God with his provision. Everything's sort of comfortable. Their shoes never dry, wear out. Their food never runs dry. They hit a rock, a little bit of water comes, and that's life. That's it. We survive. You see, that's not who a move of God is. That's not what Christians are supposed to be. But there are many people who prefer to stay there, but that's not us. See, we move past that. We move with God into what God's got for us. And so God is saying to us, I'm moving into a new season in church. I'm bringing reformation into the church. I'm reforming the thinking, the behavior, the attitudes, the speech of the church. I'm doing something brand new. So what is it? What is this new thing? Well, first of all, it's living for the kingdom of God. That the kingdom of God becomes the first priority of our lives. That the reign and rule of God is over all. Specifically, the reign and rule of God is over us. Do you know what kingdom means? The king's domain. It means everything is under the king's rule. So when God says, I'm doing a move and I'm inviting people into my kingdom, those who cross over and go into his kingdom come under his kingdom rule. Everything comes under his rule. Everything. You know, we compartmentalize, don't we? I want to give my heart to you, Jesus. So it's about, I don't know, about 25 centimeters in diameter. There you go. You can have that part of my life. There you got my heart. And then you can have 10% of my finance. And you can have 4 hours of my week. And if the pastor happens to use up three on a Sunday, well, I'm not going to go midweek, okay? See how we compartmentalize life. And I'm going to pray, but I'm only going to pray for 7 minutes a day, because that's one of the seven habits of highly effective people, so I'm going to do that. And we compartmentalize life, and we don't really come under the full reign of the kingdom. We don't really enter into the kingdom the way that we're invited to. We come in little bits and pieces. But the move of God is inviting us to enter in fully. The move of God is literally being reformed, where the family of God is restored to His design, and you feel that impact in your family and in your church, because part of this reforming is about making us parents, fathers and mothers in the faith, where we look beyond ourselves. Because, you know, when you get born again and when you start the journey with Jesus, a lot of it becomes about yourself. He's challenging me. He wants to sort me out. He wants to deal with my stuff. And I want to encounter Him and I want to walk with Him. But after a little while, God says, okay, it's not just about you now. I want you to consider my great commission, where I asked you to go and make a disciple. If you are a husband and wife, at some point, you went and made a baby. And your relationship changed dramatically. Where it was just about the two of you, and you'd take lovely drives through the country, and you'd have picnics together, and you know, you'd go and watch a movie together, and you'd be spontaneous and romantic and all that. Yes, that's right. All of you remember those days? It was beautiful, wasn't it? And then all of a sudden, you made a baby. Well, spontaneity went out the window, didn't it? And exhaustion followed very shortly thereafter. Okay, everything changed. And suddenly it was now about parenting this new child. And there is a move of God going on that's changing us from being these self-centered, selfish Christians who are all focused on our own romance into becoming fathers and mothers in the faith who care about the next generation, who care about the world around us, who care about what's going on in society, who are willing to fast and pray and seek God, who are willing to worship, who are willing to give, who are even willing to go, who are even willing to make a disciple. Willing to go through all the hassle of reaching somebody and training them and teaching them how to follow Jesus and how to walk with Jesus. There's a major shift going on, because for so long Christians depended on the system of church to do it for them. I'll just bring my friend to church and then they'll sit there and they'll be transformed into a disciple somehow. Am I speaking to the church this morning? Are you still my family? Because I'm looking at you and you're going, what the heck? Okay, so... And now, I'm not saying that's bad, but it's changing. God's changing it. The move of God is coming where He's saying, I want you to be a parent. I want you to be a father or a mother in the faith to somebody. I want you to raise them up. That's what happens when the hearts of the fathers are turned to the sons and the hearts of the sons are turned to the fathers. We've been hearing that scripture for years and years and years, and now it's becoming a reality. And the church goes from being a place where we gather together and we form a nice little club to becoming an empowering, resourcing, and releasing mission body. It's all about, well, what's God called you to do? How can we help you do it? Hang on a minute. No. It's God didn't call me to do anything. God called you to be the pastor. You go and do your thing. You go visit the sick. You go knock on doors. You preach the message. You pray. That's what you do. What I do is come here. And God's saying, well, that's all nice, but that's changed. There's a move of God where it's about you being a minister and being equipped to do the work of the ministry. It's about the church, us, sending you, getting behind you, praying for you and your children. Where that little board's gone, I don't know. But anyway, it's a shift. It's a move that changes everything about us. It's a reformation. There once was a great reformation, and the church has never been the same since. It went from being a certain way, and suddenly there was a massive change, and the world felt its impact for generations. It's coming again. We're living it. We're living in it. Right now we're living in a reformation, a time of such drastic, major change in the church that if you don't hold on tight, there's every chance you'll fall out. The third thing that I see about this move of God is that it's transforming our world. You see, church must impact the community. It must impact cities. It must impact nations, just like it did at the start. I challenged our current congregational leaders, Matt, Chris, Yvette. I said to them, if I've said it to you guys many times, but I said it to them. I said, now look, if we close the doors of the church tomorrow, we shut the doors and we just said, that's it, time up, we're done, we go, and we all go back and get a job and we do life as normal. Would the community even know that we closed our doors? And if they knew, would they care? You see, because the church is supposed to be the salt and the light. We are supposed to influence society to such a degree that it only takes a little bit of salt to change the flavor around us. It only takes a little candle to light up the darkness. That's who we're supposed to be. And that's what God's doing in this move, is changing our thinking into saying, you know what, I can actually transform the world around me? How on earth do I do that? I didn't know I had that capacity, and I really want that. Well, I want to tell you, I want to remind you of how we do it, of how we've done it, and how we're doing it, and how we're going to keep doing it. It comes from Ephesians chapter 3:10. You know we're working through Ephesians, yes? You all know that? Okay. And you know that this is about family. We're in a season where we're focusing on family. Well, my focus is the family of God. In my family, I keep reminding my children of their identity, because I want them to live out of who they are, not out of who the world around them says they are. So I keep telling them, you're a man of God. Do they always behave like that? No. But I keep sowing it in. You're a young man of God. You're going to do great things for God. You're going to have a successful life. You're going to be a blessed man. And I keep sowing that into their lives so that they're going to live out of that. They're not going to live out of what the rest of the people say about them. They're going to live out of the truth of what God says about them. So I care about the family of God, and I'm going to sow this into you. This is who you are. This is what God says about your life. And I'm not going to let you get away with anything less. I'm not going to let you say, oh, no, no, that's just for you because you're a pastor. No, no, no. I don't see that scripture anywhere in the Bible. When you can show me the one in the Bible that says it's only just for pastors, then I'll believe you. Until then, I'm going with Ephesians 4:13 that says you're a minister, that God has equipped you for a job that only you can do. We need you. So Ephesians 3:10 says this, that God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. So if we remove of God, then where do we focus our energies and our attention? Well, let me tell you, here in this church, we have never focused our energies and our attention on the world around us. We have always focused our energies and attention on the world above us, on the heavenly realms. We have based everything on prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is a channel of communication between us and the Most High God. We've started in prayer, we've carried it in prayer, and we will finish it in prayer. Prayer is vital. We're a praying people. And we've done everything we can to teach you, to equip you, to help you to become a praying man or a praying woman. We don't ever want you to be in a place where you feel like you don't know how to pray. You can't pray. We want you to be equipped and empowered to pray. Because why? Because the focus of what we do is not natural, it is supernatural. We need a supernatural intervention from God. We need God to come from heaven to earth. We need the kingdom of God to be brought here on earth. As it is in heaven, let it be on earth, as Jesus taught us. That's got to be the focus. But you know what? The world around us clamors for the attention of what's happening in our sphere, doesn't it? The problems, don't the problems shout for your attention? The shortages, the lack, the inefficiencies and the difficulties, they shout and scream, give me your attention, give me your attention, work with me, deal with me, conflict, issues like that, deal with me, when really the answer is to deal with God. Deal with the principalities, the powers and the rulers of this dark world. Deal with outgunned. Deal with that. Deal with the spirit, the spiritual powers and the heavenly realms, and you watch what will happen in the natural realm. Okay, so let me give you an example. When we moved into this area, God said to us that there were people who called the new area where we were living Belga by the Sea. And I apologize to anyone who lives in Belga, but that was not a title that we necessarily wanted. We did not want to be Belga by the Sea. We did not want to be the Hood. So we, this little band of believers in our lounge room some 10 years ago, decided we would rename it. And we would say, no, it's going to be called the God part of Perth. Okay? And we said, Lord, we don't accept that. That's not a label we're going to have. And do you know, in 3 years, watching from when it started, 3 years after it started, there were people literally camping in tents for 3 days in order to buy land in the Hood. It had gone from being a place where nobody wanted to be to camping out for 3 days. People paid students $1,500. Can I take that one back? People paid students $1,500 to sleep over, to be first in line to get a piece of land in our area. Do you know that? How many of you know that story? It's radical. I mean, I was a very impoverished pastor, and I was like, what? I wish they'd asked me. I'd have stayed there for weeks, $1,500. You know, and that was just one of the changes. It became desirable. Just like the kingdom of God is a treasure worth selling everything for to find. It became desirable, but that's not all. Some of you live in Trinity Estate. Do you not? Now, let's think about that. The God part of Perth. I'm a developer. I've got a million trillion names to choose. Which one should I choose? Oh, I think I'm going to choose God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm going to choose. Trinity. Can you see where I'm going with this? How little prayers directed at the heavenlies change the reputation of a region, rename it, rebrand it. But that's not all. Some of you go to Eden Beach. What happened in the beginning when God made it beautiful and it was perfect? What was it called again? There's so many signs along the way of what God has done as we focused on the heavenlies. God, that's not good enough. We're going to change it. Did I call up Nigel Sadley and say, Nigel, I don't like the name you're giving this place. Change it to Trinity. No. Did I call Pete and go, Pete, that's not going to be, you know, Googaloo Beach. It's going to be Eden Beach. No. God did it. God changed the circumstances on earth. Why? Because we knew where our focus was. We knew what our job was. It is our purpose as the church to make the manifold wisdom of God known in the heavenlies. Why? Because the heavenlies are where it's all locked up or it's all released, depending on where you're standing. And so God told us, you know what, Paul, there's three demons that are running the show in this area. They are deception, division, and rebellion. And they're affecting churches, and they're affecting marriages, and they're affecting businesses, and they're affecting schools. Wherever you go, you're going to bump into these three things. And this is how it's going to go. Number one, you're going to get a little whisper in your mind that's going to give you a deceptive idea. You know what? You really don't like the person you're married to. You really shouldn't be with that person. I think you made the wrong choice. And before long, that little deception becomes truth. Now that I look at you in all of your glory, I agree. I shouldn't have married you. I think I'm going to take a little break from you. Division. And after that, God would come along and say, listen, I think you need to work this through. You can't tell me what to do. The church would come along. Pastors would come along. I think we need to talk this through. You cannot tell me what to do. I'm an individual. And that was the process. We saw, did you know that in Merriwa you could not get a home loan because of the divorce rate? That you couldn't qualify for a home loan in Merriwa because the divorce rate was so high, no bank would give you a loan because they knew you were going to default. And there were countless sports clubs, just harmless sports clubs, that started and folded in our area because there was constant politicking and division going on in these sports clubs. And the church, did you know that 16 of the 17 churches over a seven-year period in this area suffered from division and from rebellion in their ranks? Did you know that 16 out of 17 shut down, split, or had a leadership change in just a very short space of time? Did you know that? That was the story, you see, but we stood there and we prayed and we said, no, we're not going to allow division, deception, and rebellion to rule over this area any longer. It's going to change. We're going to see businesses flourish. They're not going to be divided and destroyed. Families are going to prosper. We're going to see marriages, families be stronger again. And we're not only going to pray about it, we're also going to work in the opposite spirit. But we're not just going to work and just, you know, do counseling and try and fix problems. No, we're going to deal with things in the heavenlies. We're going to address things in the heavenlies. Why? Because that's who we are. We are a supernatural people. We are born not of the flesh, but of the spirit. We are supposed to be people who are accustomed to dealing with things in the spirit realm. That's our identity. And so I've preached many times about how spiritual we are and about how spiritual warfare is part of what God's called us to do. And as young people, I remember there was a time when there was a demonic manifestation in this church and the young people sat there with like eyes open, eyes wide, what? And I said, guys, this is the reality of the world you're in. There are demons that are out to get you. Their one mission in life is to destroy you. That's what the devil's name is, the destroyer. He's out to destroy you. And if you don't switch on and understand that you're not just fighting with a friend who doesn't like you, you're dealing with a demon who's out to destroy you. If you get into stuff and you start fiddling with pornography or you start fiddling with things around the fringes, that's not just, you know, your desire and your bias. No, that's a spiritual gateway. That's a doorway to demonic oppression that's going to come into your life. That's why it's really important for you not to do those things. You understand? We began to deal with things spiritually. We, as a church, became known as pretty full on. But whenever I read the Bible, I don't see anything other than pretty full on. I want to read the Bible that talks about the lukewarm Christian. And then I found it. He got vomited out of Jesus' mouth. Whoops. Not going to do that one then. Let's look for the cold one. Let's be the cold Christian, the backslidden Christian. Let's look for the Bible that talks about the cold backslidden Christian. Huh? You'll be cast out of the kingdom of heaven? Ooh, I don't want that one. So really, there's only one option in the Bible. It's called the full-on option. And that is all we've ever done, is push full on. Praise Him louder. Lift Him most high. Keep going. Keep praying fast. Come on. Why? Because that's the only pace for a move of God. Full on. Don't put on the brakes. Move with Him. Keep up with Him. That's our identity. That's who we are. It literally changes things. We became gatekeepers and watchmen on the walls of our community. We began praying over families and friends and businesses. And we've seen God bless and God prosper the people in our region. It's not the same everywhere across the city, I can promise you that. We've seen how we stood as the government of God. We said, okay, God, as it is in heaven, let it be on earth. God, we want righteous government. What do we have? Federal, state, city, righteous government. They're men and women of God. They work in partnership with us as the church. The government of the land and the government of God have come into agreement, and God is beginning to bring transformation across our region. He's beginning to bring transformation across spheres in our world. Why? Because we focused on the heavenlies. Did we focus on being the biggest church? Did we focus on having the flashiest show? Did we focus on lights and smoke machines? I don't mind lights. I quite like lights. But did we focus on that? Did we focus on having the biggest budget? Did we focus on our branding? No. We focused on the heavenlies. We focused on where it matters. We let God move things in the heavenlies and things began to happen on earth. And did everybody like it? No, because not everybody wants to move with God. But I'm speaking to a people who are a move of God. They want nothing more than to see God moving. They want nothing more than to see God breaking out in their whole area. And I'm reminding you that if you want to move with God and you want to see God move, focus on the heavenlies. Pray. Seek God. Call on God. Make decrees. Make declarations. Release things. Prophesy. You've got to become a supernatural man or woman if you're going to move with God. You can't do it in your mind. It doesn't make sense. I can't tell you how many times I've sat and just gone, that just does not make sense. I'm not going to do that. But God says, do it. I don't want to do that. Let me give you an example. This building you're in, before it became our building, this was a school, before it became the current school. And that school closed down, and the building was vacant. Around that time, we were in a tiny little building over in a lake in Butler. Tiny. We literally couldn't squash another body in there. And so I said, God, we need a new building. So I'm driving along, and I see this building, and I hear God say, how about that one? And I go, yeah. Because you know what? At that point, I didn't realize what it was going to take. I just thought it was like he was going to give it to me. Yeah, sounds good. I'll have it. So for 3 months, I'm driving up and down Connolly Drive and Mommy, and I'm looking out over this building. I go, thank you for my church and my school. Thank you for my church and my school. Thank you for my church. Anyway, the day comes where I feel God say, I want you to hop over the fence and I want you to walk around and anoint the property with oil and claim it as yours. It's daylight. All right then, first criminal offense, here we go. Whoosh. Run around the field with my little bottle of oil. Thank you Lord, I claim it, I claim it, I claim it, I claim it. And he does, the Lord does this for me 3 times, I do this 3 times. And you know, I think I told you, at that point, I don't know. I don't always tell Trish all this stuff because sometimes it's secret. So anyway, I do that. And then the day comes where I think, okay, how do I get my hands on this thing legally? And I decided to write a letter to the board of the then owner of this property. And I made them an outstanding offer. I see your building is empty. If you're not careful, some bad elements are going to get in and damage it. I have a solution. I'll get in and look after it for you. And I will run the thing and do the whole thing, look after it. It'll be fine. You just give it to me. And of course, I got a response. Who are you? You must be mad. Okay. First response. No. Let's try again. Second response. I got a really good idea. How about you give me the property and I'll give you nothing? No. Third response. Same. No. And I'm dejected. Lord, you said we could have it. And I'm directing, you know, I mean, I've been doing, you know, the Lord will give us every place where we sit before the sole of our foot will tread, and I've been treading on this place, Lord, it's ours. I've been going in the heavenlies, and now it's not happening. Well, I got a call from one of the board members who obviously read my incredibly brilliant proposition one of the 3 times. And he says, listen, I want to meet you. Let's have a talk. So we go and have a talk, and he says, what are you on about? Here's the story. Church is too small, need a new building, really like your building, think it works, can we have it? I think I need to go and speak to my pastor, says this man. Goes and speaks to his pastor. A month goes by. A month later, I get a call. We've bought the school, and we want you guys to come in and be the church and run the church out of that school free of charge, treat it like it's yours. Now, let me tell you what the price was. $6 million. Let me tell you what our budget was. $60. There was no earthly way we were ever going to be here. No way. But we directed our prayers, we focused our attention on the heavenlies, we used the word of God, we stood on the promises of God, and God has been faithful. We've never paid a cent for a building because God told us at the beginning, I'll look after the building, you look after the people. I'll look after the property, you make sure you get missionaries sent. Yes, Lord, I can do that. And I want you to know that that has been our commitment from day one, is to focus on the heavenlies and to raise up ministers who focus on the heavenlies, who go and do what God's called them to do. We feed the hungry. We plant churches. We see souls saved. Why? Not because of the need, but because of what's happening in the heavenlies. Because we understand what God tells us to do. We obey what God says to do. Even if it doesn't sound like a good idea at the time, we do it. And God begins to bring transformation. I want to tell you, that's our identity. That's who you are. You're part of something significant. You're part of what God's rolling out all over the world. But it is possible that you could miss it. And I'm just going to show you quickly. Matthew 18:3, it says this. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of God." Man, I love church. Wow, it's just so awesome to be with the church. Man, I love this kingdom of God thing. I really, really appreciate it. I mean, it's pretty cool. Wow, it looks like God's really doing stuff in that kingdom. Wow, look at that. You guys are pretty attractive and stuff, but wow. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, and thanks for all the blessings you offer me. Thanks, Lord, for your kindness and stuff. Wow, your kingdom's pretty amazing. Wow, look at church. Wish I could be part of that. Wow. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. But where do you go on Sundays? Oh, I try not to tell you because I'll get embarrassed. But anyway, I think one day I'm going to go to heaven, I reckon. So this is how I do my Christian life. Yeah, this is it. I believe in stuff, but I'm not really into it, you know. I'm not like full on. Get that? See the problem? Oh, only three of you saw the problem. Do I need to continue? Is that silly or what? I mean, is that just downright silly? God's saying, here's my kingdom. Come into my kingdom. Enter my kingdom. What does enter mean? Just in case you're not sure of what enter means, I looked up the Greek. Here's what enter means. To enter into. Ha, 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 ha. Brilliant, these Greeks. Anyway. Enjoy. Partake of. To enter into any. To be his successor. To fall into. To go in and out of. To live in. That's what enter means in the Greek. In our language, enter means enter. Just get in. But you can't get in unless you become like a little child. And here's where it gets a bit funky in church. Because we've got a lot of immaturity that keeps us out. But we don't have enough childlikeness that lets us in. Hello? You want me to be a child? But you want me to be a grown up? I'm confused. Okay? Childlikeness is like this. Trusting. Transparent. Teachable. Responsive. How many of you like children like that? Yes, those are the best kind. Most often they live in other people's homes. They're the best kind of kids. We don't like the kids who are immature, who are brats. We don't want those. And so we've got this tension of being mature but remaining childlike. We've got to be able to keep the balance. And unless you become childlike, unless you're not offended when the pastor does something stupid like this. Oh, look at that. He's a grown man. So childish. Oh, look at that. Pathetic. Such a girl. Why can't it be a manly man waving a flag in church? Oh. I know that really well because I did that. I was not childlike. I was cynical, suspicious, nasty. But then the Lord softened my heart. And I quite like waving the flag now. I think it even does something spiritual. I'm not sure what, but I'm just happy to wave it because it's pretty. And there are other similar silly things that the Lord has us do. Tunnels of fire. Who likes the tunnel of fire? I'm a bit of a tunnel of fire man myself. Was I before? No. I wasn't spiritual. I was carnal. What on earth are you doing? I don't want your fire. I don't want your sweaty hand on my head. I don't want your words over me. I want to go home. But I was on the outside looking in. Well, apparently people were getting blessed in the tunnel of fire. And I remember very clearly going to Bible college as a cynical, carnal, worldly man and going to a camp where the glory rained down. And let's pick a number. I can't remember the exact number. 50 people in the room. 49 are lying under the spout where the glory comes out. Zonked by the Holy Spirit. Ha, 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 laughing. Ha, ha, isn't God good? Ha, 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 la, ba, 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 ba. And I am standing at the back like a stoic South African should. What is wrong with all these people? These Aussies, forget that I'm going home. I was like that too. But you go under the tunnel of fire enough times, you lie under the glory spout enough times, and soon something silly happens to you too. And you start to become like a little child to enter the kingdom of God. You start to actually get blessed by when somebody puts their sweaty palm on your head. And you go, I quite like that. That's good. And then they say something kind to you, and you know, so that's so lovely. Thank you. Thank you. Ah, children of God. We got to become childlike. We don't have to behave like silly little brats and, you know, immature and stomp our feet and throw tantrums. That's not childlike. That's childish. What we want to be is childlike. We want to be simple, trusting, not complicated, not questioning everything. I was like questioning everything. I don't understand. I've got to understand it. I've got to break it down in my brain. Well, I've subsequently learned that I'm dumb. I'm really dumb. My wife agrees. She's confirmed that on numerous occasions. I was in doubt. So I thought I was clever. Then my wife said, no, you're not. You're dumb. She wouldn't say it exactly like that, but I got the message. How can you be that dumb? I don't know. It's a gift. And are we good for time? All right. And so I can't wind it up. I'm only halfway through. What have you been doing? You're listening too much. You've got to stop that listening business. Anyway, we've got to become childlike in order to enter in. And the kingdom of God is designed for entry, designed to be lived in, not observed from a distance, not, constructed and deconstructed and criticized and analyzed and all that nonsense. It's actually meant to be lived and experienced. That's the design of the kingdom of God. Because why? The kingdom of God enters into you. As much as you enter into it, it enters into you. It changes your world. And your language begins to change. Your outlook begins to change. Your perspective begins to change. Your family begins to change. Your finances begin to change. Your career goals begin to change. Your priorities begin to change. And it's almost like Jesus said that if you seek the kingdom of God first, then everything else falls into line. You'd swear the stuff was true. But I've noticed that there are three types of gospels that are being preached today in the church that keep people out of God's kingdom. They're all true, but they're not the full gospel. And I want you to hear this so that you can check it in your own life. So you can never allow a partial truth to keep you out of the fullness of God. Here's one partial truth. I want to talk to you about the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace is the one that says, let's all just get along. Let's just keep the peace. Let's just all be happy together. Let's form a nice club where we can socialize and hang out. And we can be religious. You know, we can go through the motions of a spiritual thing and never actually be spiritual. But we'll go through the motions. We'll observe it. You know, and I grew up in a church like that, so I know it very well. It stinks to high heaven. I can smell religion off a mile away because I was steeped in it myself. But nonetheless, the gospel of peace is quite often propagated in a spirit of a religion environment. Are you listening? So peace, let's just all get along. Be nice. For so long I was told if I was going to be a Christian, I had to be nice. Problem was is that I'm not very good at that. So I thought I was a bad Christian. Because I'm the Christian who goes, really? Does the Bible actually say that? Because I don't think it does. Oh, do you have to? You have to bring it up? I'm the Christian who goes, we shouldn't do that. We should do this because the Bible says so. Oh, stop it. You're going to upset someone. So I was bad at the gospel of peace. I'm getting better. I'm learning to keep my mouth closed and keep it a thought. But that partial truth keeps thousands and thousands of people out of the kingdom of God. They're just getting along. There's another one, the gospel of salvation. Oh, mate, don't worry about the detail, just get them saved. Oh, don't get too caught up in theology and stuff, just get them saved, just get them over the line. Well, come on. Well, my dad was an evangelist and he did this really well. Ach, man, I haven't got time for all that rubbish, man. Just preach the gospel. And so that's how we got a sliver of truth. Oh, as long as you're saved. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Does it matter how I live? Not really. Just as long as you're saved. Does it matter what choices you make and what you do with your life? No, not really. As long as you go to heaven at the end of the day. Because God's merciful. And on your deathbed, you'll probably get a second chance and you can make sure. Hello? Echo, crickets. Gospel of salvation. Is it true? Yes, it is. Is it the whole truth? No, it's not. Did Jesus come and preach the gospel of peace? In part. Did Jesus come and preach the gospel of salvation? In part. Third gospel that's robbing us of the kingdom of God is the gospel of church. Come to my church. My church is awesome. It's like a concert. Come on, you've got to come to my church. It's the best church in town. It's an awesome church. And, you know, my pastor's so cool. He dresses funky and he's like, his sermons are really short. And really cool. And then, you know, the band, not the worship team, the band. Band rock, man. And then we got all these like sound things. Mosh pitting. Come to my church. Why? Quite like going to the club. No, a church is better. You might even hear about like Jesus or something. And you might even go to heaven. I think. Maybe. But my church is awesome. Well, listen, that's a sliver of the truth. But it's not the whole truth. Jesus came with the gospel of the kingdom. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That was his message. It wasn't repent because you need to get saved, or repent because you need to be at peace, or repent because you need to come to church. No, it was repent because the kingdom of God is coming. In Daniel 2:44, it says this, there are going to be a whole number of kingdoms that will rise up over the next 2,600 years. Daniel interprets this dream. And then out of heaven comes this rock that smashes every kingdom. And he says, this rock is the kingdom that destroys every other kingdom. That's the kingdom of God. It doesn't play second fiddle. It doesn't take second place. When you're trying to do two kingdoms, you're trying to do the world and the kingdom of God and the world and the kingdom of God, let me tell you, smashing is on its way. The kingdoms of this world are going to be smashed. They're going to be brought down. You're going to struggle because the things you're standing on are not solid. They're shaky, and they're even more shaky when you have this foot in the kingdom of God, and on a Sunday you do something crazy like saying, Jehovah Most High God, and you're declaring something, and you're releasing something. You're saying, God, come and have your way, come and have your way, and then you go to here, the kingdom of this world, and suddenly God does have his way. Kaboom! My world's falling apart. I don't understand. Well, that's because you're not standing in the kingdom of God completely. You see, too many people, I'm rushing, but you're with me, yes? Too many people are afraid of what they're going to lose when they enter the kingdom of God. What's it going to cost me? Well, you're going to gain the whole world. You're going to inherit the fullness of Christ. He said this, he said, anyone who gives up land, business, family, to follow me, will not fail to reap 100-fold whatever they have given up with suffering. And we think, I'm going to lose. Oh, you know, I've got this really good group of friends. Really? Good group of friends. Where are they going? Where are they taking you? Mm-hmm. Good, are they? Jesus said, who do you call good? Why are you calling me good? You know what good is? Good is loving God and loving your fellow man. Are your friends good? Do they love God and do they love their fellow man? Well, then they're good. Oh, you know, I've got this really good job. Really? That's your price tag, is it? You're willing to sell your soul. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his soul? You're going to sell out, are you? You're not going to enter the kingdom of God because your job pays you better, does it? Interesting. See, I'm not talking to people who don't understand. I'm talking to a move of God. I'm talking to people who understand that we are putting God first. We are advancing the kingdom of God. We're all about the kingdom. It's our number one priority. There's no price you can put on it. There's no circle of friends that can disqualify me from it. There's no relationship on this planet worth more than it. Because Jesus said again, unless you're prepared to hate your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, your son, your daughter, you cannot have a part of me. I've seen so many people shipwreck their faith because of family. Going along with whatever family demands. The kingdom doesn't work like that. See, but in the kingdom of God, we only gain. We never lose. You might for a short while suffer loss, but God's a redeemer and a restorer. All of creation is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. Just going to end with this. All of creation is groaning like a woman in childbirth, waiting for us, the move of God, to be revealed. The kingdom of God to be put on show. To be able to say, this is what it looks like. This is what a move of God looks like on the earth. This is what Jesus died for. This is what he's coming back for. The whole world is waiting for it. And you know what they're waiting? They're waiting for the revelations that you and I carry. The answers to the problems that we carry. God's answers. Why? Because we know where to focus the attention. We know God's got a solution. God's got an answer. God can sort it out. They're waiting. They're groaning. Does anyone have an answer for our youth? Does anyone have an answer for marriage? Does anyone have an answer for government? Does anyone have an answer for business? They're groaning. Somebody. And they're being driven into the ground by every demon under the sun. Mammon, Jezebel, rebellion, deception. They've been driven into the ground by it. And they're groaning. Get me out of the slavery, someone. And then the kingdom of God arises in us. We arise and shine because the glory of the Lord has risen on us. And we say, I know the way. I know the way. I know how to pray this one through. I know how to dethrone those powers that are over this and to enthrone the God who is over all. I know how to do that. And I'm so sorry. I'm going to ask you for one more song to finish on by Shinnok. Remember that lady? She's awesome. You are even better. So can you do I Know Who I Am? Okay, we're just going to rock out with a song. Stand up. And let's just declare who we are in Christ, shall we? Are you ready to do that? Do you know who you are? Have I made it clear? You're a move of God. You are the kingdom of God on this earth. You are the fullness of Christ. You are supernatural. You are not just flesh and bone. Woo! Well, I'm excited about that, but anyway. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for putting up with me. I only get to preach every so often now, so I try and squeeze a month's worth into one go. Thank you for putting up with me.